Welcome to Minor Recs. I'm Dave. I'm here with Charlie and Joel and Jamie. Tony is not here. He has moved on to the Geneva Public Library District, so we wish him well. If you're listening to us out in Geneva, go visit Tony maybe for us. But today we're here to talk about musicals, and specifically Cats the movie. We're all fans of musicals. We may or may not all be fans of Cats. We'll find out in a minute. So let's start with Cats. Who wants to talk about Cats?
Well, I think first of all, before I hear everyone's opinions, I want to know what everyone's background with Cats is, because for the people I've talked to, that has greatly shaped what they think of the movie.
That's a very good point. I like that. Yeah. I've never seen the musical. Mm-hmm. I sang Memory in my seventh grade junior high choir, so I know that song very well. And then after that, I know nothing up until seeing the movie last week.
I got the original soundtrack album on vinyl. I found it in a thrift shop, very cheap, and listened to it about a week before we went to see the movie. So it was sort of a crash course. Mm-hmm. But in the last year, it seemed like Cats has been sort of on the zeitgeist. Two of my favorite comedy shows last year, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend mm-hmm. and The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, both did full episodes that I wouldn't say mocked, but they folded in Cats the musical into the plot line, and there were plenty of jokes at the expense of the concept.
I had zero background to it at all, beyond the fact that my wife told me that it was possibly the worst experience she's ever had sitting in a seat.
The musical, that is.
Yeah, going to see the actual musical. Okay. She went to see it, and that was like, you know, oh, okay. But going into the movie, I had no, didn't know anything else about them besides that.
I feel like Cats could have been the soundtrack for many, at least 1 to 2 of my formative years. My little sister loved it so much, and we owned the 1998 VHS of it, which was just, you know, a filming of the live show. Mm-hmm. And she watched it pretty much every day, and mm-hmm. I would watch it with her. So I love Cats. I was in a Cats like workshop performance when I was in high school as part of my theater group. I've seen it a couple times on stage. So when I'd heard that they were making a movie, I was at first extremely excited. And then I saw the trailer and I was like, oh no, oh no.
Which is a paraphrase of every YouTube comment on the trailer.
Yes.
Oh no.
Yeah. And then I feel that my experience watching it went along a similar vein of that. But when we went into it, I saw it with my sisters and my cousins all during over Christmas break, and everyone had to stay their level of anticipated horror going in. And then afterwards, we all like reconvened and said, what was your actual horror? And except for my sister, who was in love with it, everyone's actual horror was less, because I think we had anticipated so much horror based on the internet hype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it actually wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. It was still not, I did not find it great as a movie, and not to my love of the musical Cats. But I had been expecting so much, like just bonkers type of situation, and it wasn't that bad.
Wasn't that bad. Yeah. That's my phrase for the back, my quote for the back of the box. It's not as bad as you fear. Mm-hmm. It's all right. Mm-hmm. The first half, I was bored out of my mind. Mm-hmm. I thought about leaving. I've never left a movie, and I thought about it, but I didn't leave. Which was a good thing because I kind of liked the second half. Mm-hmm. I thought the songs were much better. I thought the actors performing the songs were much better. Mm-hmm. It was okay. The costumes didn't bother me. I actually really liked the set design and all that mm-hmm. because, you know, they're supposed to be tiny, so everything is huge mm-hmm. in their world. I thought that was great, but that first half, it was tough. Tough going for me.
I'm trying to think of a tactful way of saying this. I think that seeing it in the theater after marijuana became legal, changed the experience.
Sure.
I have no personal experience in this matter, but anecdotally, it seems that a large percentage of the people in the theater were there to party. They were there to experience the movie in an interactive setting. They were trying to Rocky Horror it.
That sounds great. I would love that, actually. Mm-hmm.
And
a crowd like that.
Yes.
Like, the tone was set very early during the previews, the trailers, which were disproportionately CGI'd. And every time a non-cat CGI creature was on the screen, people would boo, people would hiss. One person actually did bring a ball of yarn. We were in the second row, and someone in the first row looked behind and noticed that we did not bring cat ears, so they brought cat ears to us.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Wow.
Brought spares just in case.
Yes. And after we left the theater, we saw two people coming on their way into the next screening, and we gave them, we bestowed onto them our cat ears.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And the rest of the movie did continue in that vein. At one point, somebody behind us asked, how many times have you seen it? And this is our first time, but we're getting into it. We're really enjoying. All of the things that critics did not like about it were things that we were looking forward to seeing. Like, how bad could it possibly be?
Right.
You mentioned the hype or the anti-hype.
Yes.
Like, critics definitely had a field day with this film, possibly just because it's so easy to make cat puns. I've read Uncatty Valley in relation to the CGI. I've read it was a catastrophe. This film should have been neutered. These jokes write themselves. Actually, the Rotten Tomatoes rating was particularly painful. Despite its formidable cast.
Oh, no.
That's a good one.
This cat's adaptation is a clawful mistake that will leave most viewers begging to be put out of their musery.
Oh, no.
And I think with that, you know, people were just having so much fun giving it a bad review in the first couple of weeks that, like, there was nowhere to go but up.
Yeah.
And there are problems with the film. I'm not going to say that it was perfect on a cinematic level, but I had a great time in the theater.
I believe it. Absolutely.
And such a great time that I was worried. I was picturing, like, this elderly couple in the very back row who went to the film just to see the film and didn't like these youngsters yelling at the screen and making cat jokes and yelling, this is the worst episode of Catpool Karaoke ever, when James Corden came on the screen. That did not happen, but the usher came into the film as the credits were rolling and said, thank you all so much for getting into it. I'm really happy that, I know this isn't great, but
apologizing,
but you had a good time, and that's what film is
all
about. That's what the cinema experience is supposed to be. So, I don't know if it's in theaters anymore. I think it may have just left.
I kind of feel like I saw the last showing ever of Cats. 12:40 on a Thursday, and
until the midnight screening.
Like, exactly.
It's like, if I don't go now, I'll never see it.
Yeah. I had a similar experience. Yeah. Not similar experience seeing it. Not
at the last minute.
Charlie's experience, right. Seeing it at midday on a weekday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is like the bitter end of it.
before
movie theater
whatever came out on Friday after or something like that to take over that theater. Mm-hmm. I did, when I was walking into the theater, I did have to walk past 1917 to get to the Cats Theater. And I'm like, I could just take a right. I could just stop right now and go see this movie. But no, I stuck it out. I went all the way to Cats.
So. I saw 1917 the next day.
There you go.
So
palate cleanser, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find Cats?
I thought it did a great job of, I enjoyed the artistic expression.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just the music. It was the actual dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the choreography was really good.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's, of course, the CGI and so forth, but it's just the overall effect. I mean, because a musical is not just, you know, audio. It's visual as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the enjoyment of expression of art. And I was just having a good time. I think I tapped into that with, and I might just be a fan of Andrew Lloyd Webber in general, but I just enjoyed how he was able to take the subject material and translate it into a musical with or without a plot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more of just a character study.
It's a nice way to put it, I feel.
And with the movie, I had a fun time identifying. I didn't know who was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So I was just like, okay, who's That's this? Okay, who's that? Who's this? It was mentioned that Webber said that Judi Dench was actually originally supposed to play in the original London release in 1981, but she ruptured an Achilles beforehand, so she had to pull out. So they actually reversed the sex of Old Deuteronomy and gave that role to Judi Dench.
Sure.
Full circle.
So it's just kind of an interesting fact to...
Yeah.
And the music was toe-tapping. In some regards, I actually cooked dinner that night when I found the soundtrack. And
sure.
I introduced the kids to Cats. And so.
Well, all of the old musical clips from the 1998 version are on YouTube now, I think as promo hype for the movie coming out.
Sure.
So if you're interested, you can go back and look at those ones as well to show them to your kids, too. But I thought it was interesting what you said about them bringing all the energy and the dancing and stuff as well. I really did like the choreography for the Jellicle Ball section when the whole cast was out there and they were dancing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the interesting things was that one of the, or maybe a couple of the dancers were clearly on point, like on ballerinas. Like they would have to be wearing toe shoes while they're dancing. Mm-hmm. But then they CGI'd like toes on top of the shoes and then the fur on top of the toes. And it's just interesting because I think one of the beauty of musicals is when you see them live in theater is you're just wowed by what humans can do. Yeah. They're singing, they're dancing.
It's very physical.
Exactly. It's so physical. And especially when you have these big group numbers and they all hit it together on the only time they're doing it, it's magical.
Yeah.
But then when you see a movie, especially one that's so heavily CGI'd, you don't know what's real, what's not. You know, this person spinning around a lot of times could just be digital.
Right.
Whatever.
Sure.
And I think that takes the magic of what I love about musicals away is this could be, even without CGI, this could be the 30th take they've done this. You know, they could be clipping multiple versions together.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what kind of gets to me is that I know that this is going to be perfect. Like no one's going to, because if they didn't get it perfect, they wouldn't have put that shot in the movie, right? Mm-hmm.
Well,
maybe. The hand, correct.
Yeah, famously, about a week after the film premiered, Universal, I think Universal is the studio that did this film, took the unprecedented step of releasing a new print with updated CGI and updated effects.
A patch. Patch for the movie, yes.
And I'm not sure, because I saw this maybe a week or so after that was sent to the theaters. And the version I saw still had Judi Dench's wedding ring. So I'm not sure exactly what they
fixed. They refused? Your theater was like, no, absolutely not.
And that was just one of the many confusing elements visually. Like, you weren't sure, are these supposed to be humans or cats or human-cat hybrids?
How big are they supposed to be?
Yeah, the perspectives that you raved about are so inconsistent. Like, they're supposed to be small cats, but comparing how they sit on, say, the railroad track setting versus when they break into the human's house.
Or the mice would be minuscule because the mice were incredibly small compared to the very small cats.
I
thought that was a lot of fun. I was hoping, I hope that the art director and the prop people just had the time of their lives working on that movie. But
it was a funhouse mirror effect.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. It is inconsistent.
Well, and also it jumped from the scene, like you mentioned, with the train, and then they're back in the theater, and it was mentally, you had to kind of calibrate your brain against the sudden jumps and like just, okay, here we are, you know.
And I think that's how the original was, because this is based on T.S. Eliot's children's book of poems called Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats. We have it at the library, an illustrated version on the youth services floor, and then two regular adult versions on the fourth floor. But since it's a group of poems, they're all about cats, but it's not meant to like cohere as a narrative.
Right.
It doesn't have any through line.
No.
And the musical doesn't really have a through line. They tried to add a little bit more. And then the movie tried to add a little bit more, but it doesn't have one. It's just trying to bring all these things together.
I actually checked the time the first time there was dialogue between two characters, and it was 30 minutes before two characters spoke to each other instead of just monologuing at each other's face or whatever, or singing a song about themselves. Yeah, I didn't like that part at all. That there's no narrative, really. There's a little bit of peril with McCavity out there doing something we don't know. But otherwise, that's not what you're going to see this movie for, the musical for. It's So my problem was I didn't like the songs for the first half either. So I'm like, there's nothing to like here. And I don't know if that's because the songs themselves are bad, maybe, or maybe those performers were not right. Maybe the better performers were in the second half, as opposed to the first half, but I did not enjoy Jason Derulo or James Corden or
Rebel Wilson.
Yeah, Rebel Wilson songs at all. Mm-hmm.
In the musical, those songs were a lot more group numbers. Mm. They had the whole cast out like tap dancing and backing them up with these big, there was a lot of energy. Instead of Rebel Wilson kind of like rolling around by herself with these tiny little mice, there's all these people dressed as mice tap dancing and battling and stuff. So I think the energy was created from the choreography and the staging in the musical.
As opposed
that was
to
different.
Focusing on the one cat.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting division between theater and and cinema is the focus of the viewer. Do we want to like a landscape effect or like see a whole crowd, or are we just focusing on the one person?
Exactly.
Like
In the musical, you can your attention can wander. You can look at the people in the back or at the front or whatever. Whereas in the movie, you're looking where they want you to look, right?
Right.
If it's a close-up, then you're looking at a close-up. Also, like, the visceral component of tap dancing in live performance mm-hmm. is going to be different than people dancing ballet on a movie screen. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to hear the noise and the stomp on the stage mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. reverberation through the theater more than you're going to hear it on a 2D screen, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in the original, like, Broadway and West End productions, the actors would go out into the crowd and, you know...
Prowl,
yes.
Oh, that's good, too, yeah.
I hadn't seen it myself, but I understand there is a very tactile audience participation mm-hmm. or audience interaction element to it mm-hmm. that, like, obviously you don't get in the mm-hmm. film.
Thankfully, you don't get in the film.
I'm interested to see what lessons other directors will take away from this in terms of what they want to do with CGI. Mm-hmm. Like, are they going to be so scared away and be like, people don't want this, mm-hmm. or is that the wrong lesson to take?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I like it weird. Like, I was for weird-looking cats with half human shapes and cat faces and whatever weirdness. Like, I was fine with that. Just like, if you're going to make a movie, make a weird one. Don't make a boring one. But yeah, like, not a lot of people agree with me. I think a lot of people wanted it a little bit toned down. On the other hand, maybe people went in expecting the musical and more conventional mm-hmm. makeup as opposed to CGI. I mean, a lot of people complain about CGI in anything, mm-hmm. whether it's Cats or Star Wars or what have mm-hmm. you.
I'm sure that Tom Hooper, the director, knew that he was creating this spectacle,
yes.
this mm-hmm. garish, gaudy,
yes.
kind of tacky thing to look at. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't an accident. That's a feature. That's not a bug.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of the only faithful way of doing an adaptation of an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, mm-hmm. is to go over the top and make something that's unforgettable and kind of love it or hate it.
Yeah, I don't mm-hmm. think the movie's a problem. Maybe he read the room wrong and, mm-hmm. oh, I'll make this movie and people will love it. Well, you'll make this movie. Great. Maybe people won't love it, but mm-hmm. the makeup and the costuming and the set design, all that I thought was either fine or good. Like, that's not what bothered me about the movie. It has no plot, and movies often have plots, so that was kind of hard to deal with. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, if there's no plot, that's fine, so long as the songs are good. And some of the songs were good, and some of the songs I thought weren't good. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, after Jennifer Hudson shows up halfway through and sings mm-hmm. a good song, I'm like, oh, there's good songs in this movie. And then I loved Ian McClellan's song, mm-hmm. and I loved Taylor Swift singing mm-hmm. about McCavity and all that stuff. Like, so I enjoyed the second half. Not bad. You know, not great. So what else with musicals? How else have we experienced musicals? Like, I talked about my junior high years. I probably, much like you here listening at home, like, somewhere in junior high, I went to see Phantom in downtown Chicago mm-hmm. and, you know, was suddenly excited by this whole world of stuff. And mm-hmm. But I haven't been too into it. Like, I've seen Les Mis live. I've seen Book of Mormon. That's kind of it. Mm-hmm. I haven't gone to Hamilton. I should, of course, but
I think you missed your chance in Chicago.
Did, yeah. So I kind of love musicals, but I'm not present every day. I'm not mm-hmm. there all the time. Like, things come and go. I don't watch the Tonys. But when I get a good one, like, I really enjoy it. And I play the soundtrack and hum along and all that good stuff.
In junior high school, I was in the cast of Guys and Dolls mm-hmm. and, you know, going to rehearsal every day, I would just look forward, because the songs are so good. Frank Lesser is just a melody god. And I thought, oh my God, are all musicals this great? Mm. It turns out they are not. So you do have to kind of pick and choose. Mm-hmm. But when you find something that just works on a lot of levels, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I think is so great about a great musical. Like, it's not one thing you were mentioning. It's not just visual. It's not just musical. Mm-hmm. Like, there's choreography. There's lighting. There's subtext and drama and pathos, you know, all and of that good stuff.
It's all live.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yeah.
You're sitting in the same room that this is all happening mm-hmm. in. And it's not like they can, like, stop it and then, like, redo it. And, like, this is performance. Mm-hmm. And you were mentioning before, getting it right all mm-hmm. the time. I just picture these people doing this in their sleep.
Right.
You know, because they do it so much. And for me, I don't know if I'd be able to carry on and do that mm-hmm. for a living. So I'm just amazed. And you mentioned about that they have the same human body that I do, but they're able to use the sure. human body and do it in much different, use it in much different ways. So yeah. That's another great thing about musicals. By the time I was in junior high, I must have seen Guys and Dolls probably about 5 or 6, maybe 7 times. My parents love that musical. And so, in a sense, I've just absorbed the music. Someone mentioned Mink last week, and I started singing that song about the Mink and Pearls. And mm-hmm. and then in junior high, we actually were lucky enough to go to – I was in band, and the band and chorus of my high school went to go to New York City to see Phantom. Mm-hmm. And that was life-changing.
Yeah.
That was just – and then we actually ended up doing excerpts of Phantom for the spring concert. And I think that was in high school. And I have seen the Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. I have seen Hamilton. Mm-hmm. We saw Phantom again in Chicago. And just love it. Love the heck out of the – you were mentioning before about just the experience – and the writing and all the work that goes into it. And there's so much work behind the scenes and the orchestra, you know, down below. Mm-hmm. I just think that's great. Live music.
I feel like you were saying you kind of absorb them about just being around your parents and things like that. And that's very much how I feel about my exposure to musicals. My mom is a huge musical junkie. So growing up, that was always what we would play in the car when we were on long road trips and things like that. There's this thing called Broadway Kids, which is kind of like a kids' bop where they would sing other Broadway songs, but it was all kids who were performing on Broadway at the time. So they would put out all these different albums, and we'd listen to that nonstop. And we would usually get that as our Christmas present, was to get tickets to see something on Broadway in Chicago. So I feel like it very much impacted, like those were the things I loved more than TV shows or things like that. And then I did musical theater all through elementary, middle school, and high school. And then it kind of stopped being a part of my life as much in a way that I am sad about. I loved performing. I loved listening to this stuff. And I love the dancing aspect. So while I do like listening to the soundtrack, it's not the same to me as when I watch those clips on YouTube or things like that, because I love watching the choreography and these big group numbers, which is why I usually like rock operas or ones with strong music, not as much dialogue.
Something sung through.
Exactly. Like Spring Awakening, Joseph, Les Mis, stuff that just like punch, 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 punch are the kind I'm really drawn to.
I'm glad that no one said, I just don't like musicals, because I've heard that from a lot of
yes,
people. And the argument usually goes something like this. You're supposed to ask me to believe that they know all the lyrics already, and they know how to harmonize, and when they get the time to choreograph this, and where did the set go, and where are those dancers coming from, and this isn't realistic. And if that's your mindset, then, you know, you're being deliberately obtuse. Like,
yes.
Fantasy and
limiting yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fantasy is part of the DNA, and mm-hmm.
it is very much a session.
Suspending your disbelief.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember we saw Phantom, I think in junior high school, and then they were doing Les Mis a couple years later, when I turned 16, and I was like, I can go to Les Mis. I can drive myself. I'm like, who wants to go? And like, one guy was like, yeah, I'll go. And then I'm like, you don't want to go see a musical? And everyone was like, no, not really. I'm like, what? How? Why? Like, we just had this great one last year. And they're like, I don't know. Like, it was shocking to me mm-hmm. that, like, the same people who had gone to the same show as me and seen the same show as me could leave lukewarm about it
right.
and not – you know, over the moon and thinking about the next one. When's the next one? When can I get my mm-hmm. license and drive to Kalamazoo to see Les Mis at Western, you know?
Mm-hmm. Especially here in Chicago when we do have access. I mean, well, yeah. it's very expensive access, but at least proximate access mm-hmm. to a lot of mm-hmm. great stuff that either comes through or sets up here. We do have a lot of opportunities, but it is prohibitively expensive.
It can be.
Yeah.
Although I do have to say, Gold Star, the app mm-hmm. and website are
I've used that before too.
Really yeah. great for finding like cheap seats and comp tickets and all mm-hmm. that stuff. When Hamilton was in town, I also was lucky enough to, or my girlfriend was lucky enough to win the Hamilton lottery.
Oh,
wow.
Which I think for its entire Chicago run would have maybe 40 tickets per show would be released for $10 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's like obstructed seat or, mm-hmm. you know, side of the stage, that sort of thing. But I had seen it in the expensive balcony seats about a year before. And then seeing it again, like in maybe the second row, there was a pole sort of obscuring some of the stage. But being that close to the action and not seeing the dancers as rows of performers, but seeing individuals mm-hmm. with sweat coming off their brow,
sure, yeah.
actively working to make this as impressive as possible. That definitely made a huge impact of respecting the craft mm-hmm. and what goes into making a great performance every time.
Seeing faces
yeah. mm-hmm.
instead of just the dancers.
Right.
But seeing like, oh,
the
this person.
The micro-expressions
yeah.
on,
yeah.
on
exactly,
the actors' faces.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes to both what you and Dave were saying, which is when you're watching a movie, you see what the director wants you to see. Mm. And in a musical, you can watch it several times, but if you're sitting in a different place, you know, if you're looking at a different person, you can have such different experiences each time you go. Like, there's, you can go several times.
Yeah.
I kind of want to. I've kind of thought of that. Like, is the performance very different from day to day? Probably not. But, like, what if you could just get tickets, like, 5 days in a row and go to each one, sit in different seats, and say, oh, they flubbed this line. They got it. Right. It was better on Tuesday or something like that. I've always wondered about that. Like,
well, even the difference between, you know, the matinee and the evening, because they have the understudies do the matinee a lot.
Or how big the crowd is, energetic the crowd.
Right.
Yeah, how that changes it.
When I went to see Hamilton, we saw a matinee, and I remember seeing Wayne Brady was the evening. I'm like, we're going to – as come on. So – but I love the quote from Lin-Manuel Miranda when he was reading Hamilton – and he thought to himself, how has anyone not made a musical out of this? And that is one of my favorite quotes of all time. Because, like, that's how, like, of course, everybody wants to make a musical out of every, you know, historical biography they read, right? Sure. But I enjoyed the fact that American history, formative American history, was taken and brought to the masses, if you will, through such a great and, you know, well-crafted enterprise. And I remember seeing when they were, because there's a lot of bullets flying in Hamilton, and they would simulate it with the hands.
Right.
You know, and just that, I love that. I love the...
It's sort of Matrix-style, slow motion bullet. Just,
you completely got it. It wasn't, as you spoke before, it's not ultra-realism. It is like the ultimate in suspension of disbelief. And I think when you're sitting in that seat, it's like... You have to get into that mode. And, okay, I am willing to believe that this stick with something on it is, you know, an elephant. There's a part of me that wants to see the Lion King because of that. Like, I wonder how far they go with the animals and whatnot.
The musical or the movie?
The musical.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, when it comes around again.
Yeah.
You know, but saying that, a goal of my family is, or for my wife and I, is to take our kids and introduce this to them. And I have an idea we're going to drag them, possibly kicking, maybe screaming. But I think they'll come out and they'll be like, their hair blown back.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned before, it is prohibitive. Like, real, I look for tickets. I didn't know about Gold Star, so I'm very happy to know that. But I source for tickets, and it's hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. Especially for a family.
Yeah. But at the same point,
right?
How else are you going to spend that money?
And then getting four seats together.
Right.
Scalpers are taking one seat per row and all but that.
We do feel it's important, though. It's beyond movies, you know, to expose kids to art and to performance art.
That was one thing I was wondering, as our digital ability to recreate, like, humans and things like that with deep fakes and stuff to mimic reality in movies. I wonder if people will gravitate more towards plays and musicals than they have in the past.
Authenticity.
For authenticity, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely something ineffable to seeing a theater performance that, you know, it allows you to suspend that disbelief a lot more easily. It's easier to envelop yourself in the world and take it on its own terms. Whereas a movie, it's pretty easy to dismiss it if you're not liking it. Like, I've never left a musical at intermission.
You know, no, sure.
It feels like, you know, there's an out if you want it, but... You know, having it split into two acts, it kind of gives you that cliffhanger and it makes you more invested in what's going on.
That's what I was about to say. It's more of an investment when you're there. Yeah, more of your senses, more of your, you know, cash than a movie. Movies just, it's kind of crumble it up and throw it away compared to a musical.
And it's an event. We dress up to go to it. You know, everyone's taking pictures in the front.
Programs.
It's still... It's one of those few things that's still, like, a special event to go to.
Was that what McCavity said, ineffable, ineffable, or is that?
I think you're right.
Yeah, that is. What
Okay. Very good. Yeah. So go see a musical. Come on, let's go. Like, I haven't gone in years. I should go. Last time I went was in Vegas, and I saw someone in a very small theater was doing The Evil Dead, the musical. And it was fantastic to watch six people sing songs about zombies. And didn't cost a lot of money. Why not? They had some zombie, you know, work in the crowd before the show. It was pretty good. But yeah, like, I've enjoyed every show I've gone to, some hugely and some just very much, you know, like I've never, it's never been a downer or a waste of time. It's always a great experience, it seems like.
And it seems like the success of Hamilton has sort of ushered in a new crop of modern day musicals. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. I recently saw Six.
I saw Six too.
Which is awesome. Yep. It's based on the six wives of Henry VIII, but it's sung from the wives' perspective, as history books usually are not.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And each one of them is sort of modeled on a 21st century female pop singer, which is just a brilliant move.
Yeah. And in the little book, they tell you, like, this person is like the Adele character. Right. This person is, you know,
the Lily Allen.
The Beyonce character. Yeah. And that's going to Broadway now, too.
Okay.
So Chicago is a good place because they often test stuff out and you can see it for cheaper. Like, 5 years from now, there's no way we could be able to see that for what we paid, you know, here. So.
Well, that's nice to know, too. I mean, it's like not a minor league part, but it's get it while it's hot now because you might not be able to get in. I've seen that they've done, like, Mean Girls and, like, Jimmy Buffett as a musical, and they'll just do anything. I did also see the sequel, if you will, to Phantom of the Opera, Love Never Dies. And it was good enough to sing the song to myself a couple days after it, and now I forgot what it was. But it was okay. Like, I probably would have been more mad if I hadn't seen it. And I feel satisfied, I guess, that I have seen it, but it wasn't obviously as good as Phantom, so...
Yeah, I have to make some sort of plan. Every summer, go see something.
Yeah,
like
tradition.
If Hamilton's here, then great. If nothing looks good, then pick one and go for it. Go see a Cubs game in the spring. Go see a musical in the summer. Every single year.
Actually, and another personal story involved with when I did go see Phantom in Chicago, it was the day that I proposed to my wife.
Oh.
And I didn't want to have – and she didn't know. It was just like a surprise day. And one of the things we did was go to this, you know, okay, now we're going to the Cadillac Theater. We're going to go see Phantom. I didn't want to have the ring box in my khaki pants. So I took the ring out of the box and I wrapped it in like a napkin. And I put it in my pocket. And for like every intermission, I'd like run to the bathroom. Like, is it still there?
It's still there. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, my palms are getting sweaty.
I know.
So that might be another reason. It was just, it's a great memory in a lot of respects, just because of, you know, the anticipation, but also the enjoyment of the musical.
We have a big musical section here, too, at the in our DVD collection. Check out.
In the 782 area? Yeah.
So go see a musical. See Cats if you want. It's not that bad. But musicals are great.
I dare say that it is having the second of its nine lives.
It's coming back. Believe it or not, it's coming back. All right, that's it for Minor Rex. We'll see you next time.